We're well past Halloween, and Christmas is not quite on the horizon. It's a great time for a lot of theatrical events, and we're going to get to many of them in the course of this hour and this week. A little bit later, in about half an hour, we'll find out what Ignite is doing for their opening a little bit later in the week. But there's a wonderful legacy that continues even as it morphs at Stage Left. This year, they call it the Playwrights Playground. And here's Rebecca Cook, who's kind of the ringmaster for this whole thing, to put a little context on it. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Vern. Thanks for having us.
Sure, absolutely. Let's do a little legacy, because Stage Left has, like any theater, especially small theaters, tries things and has had a wonderful legacy of nurturing playwrights and trying new material and things. So tell me about the past.
Well, this festival is actually born out of the Hit and Run Festival, which Sandra Hosking, local playwright, started about 10 years ago. And I think the first time we performed, it was at Auntie's Bookstore, back when their second floor had a performance space. Mm-hmm. And we performed all kinds of different places, including the Blue Door Theater and Ignite. When Stage Left formed, Sandra Hosking became their playwright in residence a few years ago. And brought the festival to Stage Left, where it was performed. And then this last year, Sandy retired the festival and stepped back from her playwright in residency at Stage Left. And so Stage Left has just really enjoyed this festival, bringing new plays and new playwrights to the theater. And so they decided to sort of rename it and revamp it a little bit into a bit of a more traditional Reader's Theater, and call it Playwrights Playground.
Okay, so in the what is new, you say it's more of a traditional Reader's Theater. What's the range of material? Is it local? Is it regional? How do you find your plays?
We accepted plays from all over the world. I think the furthest reaching playwright was from New Zealand, but most of it was from the U.S.
So you just put something out on the internet and say, "Hey, we're going to do this," and you let the plays just come rolling in.
Pretty much
through cyberspace.
Yeah. There's a few different forums for playwrights. Yeah.
So then you have all these submissions, and somebody has to read all those plays and be the decider.
Yeah, we had a group of five different women actually who were reading plays. Myself included, and we had about 200 submissions this year. It was just incredible.
Okay, is that fun, or is that tedious, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Maybe I shouldn't make you admit this out loud. Do you sometimes get a ways into the play and know that it's just... You don't have to read every play to the end. You know, don't you?
Oh, yeah. If it doesn't grab you in the first minute, it's not going to grab your audience. Huh. That's my philosophy. And when you've got 200 plays to read in a matter of a few weeks, then, you have to make some pretty dire choices. Yeah.
But if it pulls you to the end, then it's obviously, if you can't put it down, the famous. Then
right.
It's right up there.
Right. And for Reader's Theater, you also kind of have to look at it as to, will it be an interesting play in that format? Mm-hmm. If it's full of action and the stage directions aren't that interesting to listen to, then it's not going to play very well as Reader's Theater. So
yeah, that's a good point.
All kinds of things to think about.
Rebecca Cook, who's producing the Playwrights Playground. It's three nights. It's Friday, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, the Standard Times. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing each night, or is there a rotating set of plays?
It's the same thing each night. We've got nine roughly 10-minute short plays.
Oh, okay. So that then you can really perfect them, as it were. Yeah. And so in Reader's Theater, do you get beyond that at all? Do you do anything other than just stand there and hold a thing? Do you turn to each other? Do you have a tantrum? Do you, pull your hair out? How much do you go beyond simply the words?
Well, in a traditional format, you do just stand there. We're a little bit removed from that. We have minimal blocking. But when you've got actors with scripts in hand, you don't have props. You don't have costumes. And we try and really focus on the words. And there's a narrator for each play. So if there's action that needs to be talked about, then the narrator can reveal that. And it's kind of a fun way, too, for the audience to hear how the playwrights describe things that, to the actors that they wouldn't otherwise hear before.
And the behind-the-scenes
implication
of that. Good. Well, we have two actors here, Robin Erhausen and Steven Schneidmiller, and they have a scene for us. Give us a little background. What's the name of this play that it comes from?
This one is Location, 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 or The Immeasurable Distance Between Here and There by Rich Orloff. And it's set in a hotel room. It's two people who've been working for the same company but at a distance for many years and have known each other, but they only see each other at conventions.
Okay, well then let's go here. It doesn't really even matter what their names are. It's a man and a woman. We'll figure it out. But played by Robin Erhausen and Steven Schneidmiller. Let's go to this scene.
So, how does this compare to your room?
Pretty much the same. We have a much better view of the parking lot.
I'm just grateful any time I'm in a hotel room that's not opposite the ice machine.
I always get the room opposite the ice machine. I think it's my destiny. You know, you look really great.
Wow, that sounds so practiced.
It's not, honest. Okay, a bit. I was in the car a long time today, driving from Scranton, and knowing I'd end up in Buffalo made the trip feel even longer. But I do think you look great, always.
I enjoyed exchanging glances with you early at the party, even before we started drinking.
Me too.
And I got that special feeling of, he's not about to start drinking so that I'll look attractive. He's about to start drinking because he already thinks I'm attractive.
Oh, definitely. When I was driving here, knowing you'd be at the conference, I have to admit, I started thinking.
About me?
Well, about how many drinks it'd take for me to,
proposition.
Yeah, that's the word.
And it's a family show, so we'll stop right there.
Yeah, I should say the play festival is more of a PG-13.
Okay, very good. Well, what a lot of fun, even in that, because those words certainly did tell a scene, and they told a lot of background and everything else. So to the two people who got to do this, to the extent that it matters, and you don't need to tell us how the play is going to come out or even how this relationship is going to come out. But Robin, say a little bit more about who this person is that you're playing.
Oh, the character's name is Michelle, and she's a very confident woman, knows what she wants, and is all about security.
Okay. And Stephen?
I play a very shy man that's slowly kind of getting out of his shell when meeting Robin's character. So... a character that took a while to eventually proposition this woman to
to do something.
Do something behind closed doors.
Yeah, there you go. And so already we have a lot of the good elements of drama here with two very different character types, you know, who are having to find a common meeting ground, as it were, to make this happen. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what you think can happen in a 10-minute play. And this is for all three of you. And, you know, how much drama, how much surprise, how much character development, how much transition can happen in a 10-minute play? Anybody?
You know, it's always been fascinating to me because I've worked in short plays for so long. You know, we do Fast and Furious in February that's one-minute plays. Mm-hmm. And the 10-minute plays have started to feel like there's so much more character development because I've been working in the shorter plays. But we spent a good amount of time just discussing these characters before we ever even started reading the play, and really delving into that because they are very complex, you know, for 10 pages.
Mm-hmm. Either of you thought of it, do you feel sad? I could re-ask it this way. Do you feel satisfied at the end of this 10-minute play that a complete thought and a complete thing has happened?
I think the first time I read it, I don't think I was satisfied, but the more I read it, the more I became satisfied. I don't know, maybe it's just
because you found more in it as you went along?
That and also talking to Rebecca, just kind of going through it, kind of understanding actually what is either implied at the end or what is actually is accomplished at the end. I was just all like, yeah, this as far as the story goes, this is all that needs to be said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Robin?
I'm always amazed by the amount of content that can be fit into a 10-minute piece. This is not my first time with this particular, well, technically the first time with this festival because it's Playwrights Playground this year. But I always just get that nice sense of completion, knowing where the characters start and where they end. And it just always seems to work out that way. Mm. It's quite magical.
So you've done this a bunch before.
I have.
And so tell me a little about you and your theatrical life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a long story, but I'll just start right at stage left. I got out of theater for a tiny bit because I had a child, and time commitments with
no
big
kidding.
Theater shows are kind of a no at that point. Another festival that Stage Left has is the 24-hour Leftovers. And I put a survey out there saying, yeah, I'd totally do this. And then next thing I know, I've been picked in a cast. And I told my husband, hey, by the way, I'm doing a show. But thankfully, because of Stage Left, I've been able to kind of get my theater fix, but still be a mom. Mm-hmm. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you study around here and do
things? Yeah, I went to school out at Eastern Washington University, mm-hmm. and actually I got my degree in education for Spanish and theater. So I have a great passion for teaching, and I wanted electives because I wanted kids to be in my class, mm-hmm. who wanted to be in my class.
Yeah.
So, and I still do teach some theater. The MAC has a program called Passport to the Arts, and so I go and I teach elementary kids some theater stuff there. And Cheney School District has actually recently started with one of their elementary schools, a little mm-hmm. program that's similar. It's a night with the arts, and I go out and I teach theater for them, too.
Nice, yeah. And you, Stephen, what's your relationship to theater?
Well, I guess ever since I was kind of a little kid, I was doing little plays here and there. But probably in high school and then in college, I was more focused on doing film. And when I came back to Spokane, I went to school down in California, but when I came back to Spokane, I decided, you know, to give the theater another shot, and that was about 2013, but then I took a bit of a hiatus, but I'm back now with Stage Left. It kind of by accident, I was actually thought I was trying out for another play, and then I kept on showing to all these auditions, and nobody even knew what I was talking about. There was a play that apparently was supposed to be for this December, but I guess it got canceled in favor of another play. But when I was like saying like the title of the play, people were just all like, you know, what? What's what? I was just like, and so yeah, I had no idea about playgrounds. Playwrights Playground,
right, yeah.
until I like walked in and like saw the sign and everything. I was just all like, what's going on? So it was a happy accident. Yeah. So,
and you're enjoying the ride?
Oh yeah, I love it. So yeah.
Back to Rebecca, who's in charge of this whole thing. Talk about some of the range of emotions and art and plays in the course of your 9 plays.
Oh boy, it is. A pretty wild ride. In the past, traditionally, the Sandy's Festival was all comedies, but we decided to open it up this year. So there's a few that are just two people, and we have, you know, relationships between a man and a woman. We have a granddaughter and a grandfather. Old Age and Treachery is the name of that one. We've got people who meet on a plane. We've got a group of writers who don't believe they're plagiarizing each other and get into it, called Poetry, Prose, and Pirates. And we've got actually Sandra Hosking's play Hit and Run is in the festival as well.
So there's a little legacy there.
Yeah. It was pretty special that she submitted that one and our play committee selected it. But it's three women who have all been married to the same man who meet in a grocery store. So it'll take you on quite a ride. There's no two that are very similar, I think.
Nice. This is Playwrights Playground, Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 2 o'clock at Stage Left Theater, which is, I think it's 108 West 3rd, I think.
I think
is the address. I've said it enough. I finally remembered that it's 3rd, not 2nd. So I'm little by little getting it together with a nice, shiny new sign out front so you can really see what's going on. And then on, I think, the last day of this month, we'll be talking about the December offering at Stage Left. So thank you, all three of you, for coming in.
Thank you, Vern.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.